So when they saw the school of predators approach and begin to circle the vessel, when they had primed their weapons, when they had steeled themselves for the battle, when they turned to the stern of the vessel, the last sight they expected to greet them was the wraith-like vision of Jack Lauren, his white skin covered in a film of blood from still open wounds, his hands free and ready for killing. His eyes blazed like hot coals, boring into those who faced him, the fury in them making them flinch. And he was not alone. JB, Christie, and Ryan had taken formation and were cornering the sailors at the bow. For a moment, nothing happened. As the closest sailors trained their guns on the prisoners, Jack rushed them. Grabbing their wrists in a heartbeat, he re-aimed their pistols at each other. They were already firing when they shot each other down. His hands free, Jack backhanded Colette and sent a kick at a crewman so forceful it sent him overboard. Ryan went to work on the captain, hammering his stomach with powerhouse blows. JB snatched a spear gun from the hands of one of his opponents and thrust the entire assembly into his chest. The last sailor standing, ready to do to JB what he had done to his comrade, when strong hands grabbed his head on both sides and twisted sharply. The body fell in a pile at Jack's feet. JB looked up at the man who had saved his life and grinned.
Looks like I owe you one.
I stopped keeping count years ago.
The ship's ours. How's Doc holding up?
As if on cue, Mildred stepped forward, revealing behind her that Doc was sitting up on his own and seemed lucid.
He seems to be doing all right. It's an experience I don't want to repeat anytime soon, but we'll live just fine.
What about them, Ryan?
Ryan followed Jack's gaze to the source of his curiosity.
The woman was alive.
Down and out, but still alive.
Well, they were bringing us out here for bait, Jack. They'd have chilled us. They'll get no mercy from me.
Love her.
I'll tie him up for now. We'll sort him out later. We appear to have plenty of rope.
What in Gaia's name?
Off to the port side, a frothing, bloody pool churned away. The great sharks the villagers feared so much were only a few feet beneath them, looming beneath the waves, shadows of certain death.
They look hungry. We shouldn't keep them waiting.
They knew immediately what Ryan meant, and moved to gather the dead crewmen. Taking them one at a time and swinging the bodies over the rail, they worked their way through the six dead men. One by one, the ocean accepted the bounty of the dead sailors. One by one, they drifted atop the waves for only moments before being pulled downward by the behemoths. The shadows moved over their shrinking forms, leaving only silence and a cloud of drifting red. Colette's cheek was a deep purple.
What's going on?
You're alive. Your crew's not. Unless you care to join them, you'll stay put till we're off this scow and on our way.
Why, you filthy...
Shut up, woman. We want no part of you or your people. You dragged us into your problems, so we're fighting our way out. You shut up. Thank your stars you're not shark food, young great...
That's enough. Christie, where are we headed?
It occurred to the group that amid all the activity, they had never stopped moving. The ship had drifted in and out of the Great Shark's territory, and were now moving towards ominous-looking storm clouds, and not back the way they'd come.
We're heading toward the swamps. There's hardly any food and water aboard. Guess they weren't planning to be out that long. We can't go back that way, can we? So maybe we'll land, get our bearings, see if we can find the people he left behind. Maybe they got together the kind of bill they were looking for. At least we know there's a redoubt near there where we can jump.
Seems like you got it all worked out.
It's not us I'm worried about. It's really hard to catch the wind to take us the right way. Too many changes out there. I'm worried we're sailing into a storm and it's going to take us way off course.
What about our guest? She was on the crew, right? She must know these waters. Maybe she could help.
Why should she?
Well, because if she doesn't, she's liable to get chilled as well. Get her on her feet.
Christie took Ryan over to where the woman was sitting on the deck, huddled against the mast, looking sullen and withdrawn.
I don't have time for niceties. We're all chilled unless you help. If you do, then we'll let you off when we hit land. If not, well, then you'll probably get chilled out here with us because we're not sailors. We have a deal?
The woman hadn't been looking at Ryan. She'd been too concerned with the skies, lowering with cloud banks, moving swiftly in the winds. She was also aware of the increasing pitch and yaw of the boat.
Where are you heading?
The swamps.
You'll never do it unless I help. Storm's waking up. It'll drive northwest when you want to head south.
Then, lady, you better start helping us right now.
Maybe I will. At least I'll stay alive a little longer, if nothing else.
Glad to hear it.
Hope you know what you're doing.
Stoop! You people listen to me. We'll get through this. But you gotta do exactly what I say or we're done.
JB shot Ryan a glance. Could they trust her? Ryan shrugged. Right now they had little choice. The woman began to direct the companions to change the tack of the sails so that they could catch the crosswinds that would carry them in the right direction. Ryan had worked on ships in his time, having once been stranded in a whaling port. JB, Mildred, Jack, and Christy had less experience and had to follow the woman's orders to the letter. Doc was excluded from working, despite his willingness to lend a hand. He had tried to raise himself and assist, but was still too weak, and was persuaded that he should rest. If rest were possible, the storm came on them rapidly as they sailed, unable to alter their course until the sails were re-rigged, taken up by the air currents swirling around the cloud systems. The rain started to beat heavily on the deck. Drops hit them like hurled stones as they were picked up by the crosswinds and driven almost horizontally across the deck. The deck rose and fell around them, making it hard to stay upright or move with any degree of safety. At any moment, they could be pitched forward by a sudden roll of the water beneath, sent skittering toward the rail and over into the choppy waters beneath. It was hard for any of them to tell if the boat was making progress, as all around seemed to be a solid wall of rain and cloud, a permanent gray backdrop, illuminated occasionally by sudden flashes of lightning as the clouds cracked together, the distant rumble of thunder buried beneath the whine of the wind and the roaring of the sea. The deck beneath their feet, treacherous enough with the pitch of the sea, was made worse by the water that slopped over the sides and poured from the skies, making the planking slippery enough to land them on their backs, to slide them over the side. As if the work wasn't hard enough, they had to move slowly. Their concentration on the work was so intense that they didn't notice when the storm began to abate. Mildred looked up, realizing that she was no longer being battered by raindrops like stones. As she looked up, she could see that the clouds had broken, allowing the blue above to shine through. Ryan paused, noticing that the deck beneath his feet was no longer pitching with such fury, and as he looked across, he could see that the sea around them was starting to settle.
Fire blast! You actually did it!
You shouldn't have doubted me, One-Eye. Save my own skin, I gotta save yours.
Look! We're not out of danger yet!
Staring out over the stern at the dark shapes closing on them, it became clear what Jack was referring to.
What the hell are those?
The shapes were sleeker than the sharks that had trailed them when they had first been dragged into the ocean, and they were moving at a greater speed. They seemed more menacing, more purposeful, as they sped toward the boat.
Get back from the stern! I've seen those bastards before. And they'll have you over the side if you give them a chance.
Madam, I feel you are overstating the case and being a little too presumptuous. The mere thought that these creatures could actually...
They were dolphins, but unlike any kind that any of the travelers had ever seen before. Sleek and bottlenosed, this particular mammal had twin rows of sharp teeth that were visible in its mouth as it flew into the air, propelled by its powerful tail. It hung over the rear of the boat, its mouth open for what appeared to be an eternity, the twin rows of teeth looking razor sharp and deadly, its fetid breath blowing back Doc's hair as he stared into the maw. And the noise it made was not the high-pitched intelligence squeak of dolphins they had seen before. It snapped its jaws shut, and Doc had just the presence of mind to snatch back his arm when the creature's jaws closed on nothing but air. It hung there, disappointment almost obvious in the bright, intelligent eyes, before falling back into the wake of the vessel.
Storm's brought them to the surface, scavenging! They won't go back unless they got something to chew on, seeing all before!
What can they do?
Ryan was answered as the boat began to be buffeted from side to side, the deck resounding as the porpoises threw their weight against the sides of the craft, hoping to turn it over. The impact threw the vessel from side to side, pitching almost as much as it did in the storm. Colette clung grimly to the wheel, trying to keep the course straight. She indicated ahead of them.
Just need to outrun these bastards. Look up there.
Land was within view. Swamplands, with inlets of rivers running from the edge of the sea through the densely vegetated land, which seemed to be melting into the water.
We can get some more speed. We can get into the freshwater and run into the swamp. Just need to get far enough before they smash us.
Following her orders, her six companions, Doc now fit enough to help, began to trim the sails to catch the winds behind them, Colette using the wheel to guide the vessel closer to the freshwater inlets. It was hard for them to keep their feet as the dolphins hammered the sides of the boat. Each blow altered the course a little, making the steering almost impossible. Yet despite this, the helmsman was managing to guide them closer, ever closer. The blows grew harder. Mildred lost her footing and skittered across the deck, looking for something to arrest her slide before she tumbled through the rail. A dolphin loomed up on the side of the boat, hanging in the air and darting its head as far over the side of the rail as it could manage, snapping its jaws as she managed to keep just out of reach. The vessel suddenly shuddered and lurched violently to one side, causing them to cling to the mast or be thrown to the mutey predators. The wheel was wrenched from Colette's grip, spinning wildly, hammering hard and painful on her hands as she tried desperately to regain her grip. Gritting her teeth, she grasped the wheel and tried to wrench them back on course. The boat stayed at a 45-degree angle in the water as it moved.
Dark night, the bastards have managed to put a hole in us.
Yeah, that they have. But I figure we can just about make it. Only 1,000 yards or so and the waters will change.
1,000 yards. Not that much of a distance, especially at the speed that they had attained as the sails caught a sudden gust of wind, the current taking them in the direction they wanted. But 1,000 yards was a long way when a boat was taking water and the craft was vulnerable. The muty mammals redoubled their efforts to wreck the vessel. Another crack from the left, where they were already listing, caused the vessel to suddenly slow as it began to take on more water. They had less than 500 yards, and some of the dolphins had already begun to fall back, the mingling fresh and salt water at the mouth of the swamp proving too much for them to take. But there was still a core of muties who were inflamed with bloodlust and hunger, determined to finish the job they started.
For fuck's sake, use your blasters on them!
Up to this point, the vessel had been so unsteady that the companions had focused on just hanging on, but now it was time to fight back. Their weapons were still on the deck. They had moved a little in the chaos, but had come to rest against the small bulkhead, lodged in safe positions. Getting to them wouldn't be simple. The bulkhead was situated near the side of the boat, and in their desperation, the muty mammals who were sticking with the attack to the bitter end were hurling themselves up into the air and hanging over the deck, their heads moving, their jaws snapping in an attempt to take some tasty morsel back into the depths with them. Ryan and JB set out across the deck, desperately trying to keep their footing as the vessel pitched violently as the dolphins hammered against the sides, the boat tipping at more and more of an acute angle as the water shipped in through the hole under the waterline. The swamps were in plain view. Ryan and JB thudded into the bulkhead almost simultaneously, reaching into the pile to try to extricate their blasters. JB pulled out his M4000 and chambered a shell.
Ryan, use my Uzi. It's no time for sharpshooting.
The two men readied themselves for the next sighting. The gaping maw of a dolphin opened, its foul breath hitting them in a wave, the teeth standing sentry like 1,000 soldiers poised to attack. Ryan and JB were covered in a sticky, stinking spray of blood, the hot liquid sticking to them and running down their clothes, mixing with their own recently shed blood. The Uzi fire wasn't concentrated enough to chill the creature, but it took enough lumps of flesh from its body to make it retreat in agony and confusion. Scrambling to their feet, both men tried to attain the far side of the deck, almost having to climb uphill as the vessel yawed dangerously.
Hold on to something, this is going to be rough!
To their rears, the muty mammals finally began to retreat. The combination of blaster fire and the fresh water into which the boat had now sailed was too much for them. The companions' world was now suddenly bounded by the overhanging trees and grasses of the swamp, looming up out of the waters as the land and rivers merged into a sludge that was sometimes more fluid, sometimes more solid. The last chance gasp of the boat had caught a gust that had whipped it in at too great a speed to negotiate the sudden turns and narrows of the channels in the swamps, and they were thrown across the wildly pitching deck as the boat hit land, then water, then land, then water, throwing itself from side to side despite the attempts of the helmsman to keep some kind of course and bring the vessel in safely. The craft came to a violent, shuddering halt, throwing them forward and into the air as it hit a bank too wide and solid to plow through or bounce off. The swamp turned upside down around them and then went black. was dark when Ryan opened his eye, a pain shooting through his skull. A clear night, with a three-quarter moon that was bright enough to illuminate the swamplands around. He tried to move, tentatively, checking for any damage. Apart from the protestations of sore and aching muscles, there was none. He hoped the others had been as lucky. In the clear light of the moon, he was able to see that the boat had careened into a mud bank and finally broken up. Pieces of hull and deck were scattered around. Moving carefully, partly to save his aching limbs and partly so that he didn't fall into the quicksand-like swamp in the semi-darkness, Ryan tried to locate the others. In the thick undergrowth, he could see very little. After some fruitless searching, he heard movement. Reaching for the panga, usually strapped to his thigh, he realized that their weapons were still tied up in a bundle ready for dumping. He hoped that he would be able to find the bundle before he was in dire need, and for that, he would certainly need daylight. Dropping into a combat stance, Ryan crouched to hug the cover of the swamp, and was relieved when Jack Lauren emerged from the swamp grass.
Ryan, I found three others in our stuff. Christy and Doc are still out. JB's coming too. Here.
Jack tossed Ryan the Sig Sauer in the Steyr, then pulled the panga from his belt and handed it hilt first to the one-eyed man.
I left our stuff by him. Need to stay frosty.
Ryan could remember his last time in the swamps and readily agreed. The two fighters agreed to divide the area, search, and meet back in half an hour.
Told JB to stay put till he feel better. Then I came back.
Ryan could see the logic. Keep all those whose locations he knew in one place, then collect everyone together when they were fully conscious. Should ideally make it easier to find the missing pair. Or maybe not. Almost half an hour later, Ryan had nothing but insect bites and a mounting frustration to show for his trouble. The swamp area he had searched was empty, at least devoid of human life. He made his way back to the meeting point, where he was astounded to see Jack standing with Mildred. Between them, they were carrying the woman who had helmed the boat. She was unconscious.
Hey, Ryan. How's things?
Mildred, what...
I figure I got lucky and didn't land too badly, and I landed near her. It was a real struggle trying to drag her around with me until Jack found us. Good thing he found me, or no knowing where I would have wandered. I think I suffered a concussion in the crash, Ryan. It should pass. We're kind of knowing it, to tell the truth.